All right, that is a wonderful truth, isn't it? When we trust the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, he lives within our heart. And remember what the Lord himself said in the book of John. He said, we will come and make our abode in you. Meaning the Father will come and I will come and the Spirit will come. You say, that's three. That's right, these three are one. And these three who are one make their abode in us. And the Bible tells us that our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Tonight I want to look in Luke chapter 6. Luke and chapter 6. And just a couple of verses really. We'll read 4, verse 12 through 16, which is 5 verses. We'll read those together. But I'll be looking particularly at just 12 and 13 tonight. And Lord willing, we'll look at the others another night. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, part of our study through the book of Luke. And let's read these verses together tonight. Luke chapter 6, 12 to 16. And starting in verse 12, we read together. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for the opportunity to come together. Thank you, Father, for everybody who's taken time to be here. I pray your blessing upon each one. We thank you for the hymns of the faith, the wonderful truths that we can express tonight before your throne. We trust it brought some pleasure to you, Lord. We know it thrills our hearts, Lord, to sing of the wonderful salvation. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today and also forever. So, Father, we ask that you would bless our time in your word now, and we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one of the outstanding things about the Lord Jesus is his prayer life. And yet if you ask people about that, there'd probably be little said about it. People tend to focus more on what? On the miracles. And, you know, he raised someone from the dead. And praise God for all that. But one of the outstanding things is his prayer life. And I think it's outstanding in this sense that his prayer life preceded the miracles and all the other things he did. And we kind of get it around the other way. We're in trouble. Oh, Lord, please help me. Rather than, hang on, and we should be in prayer all the time, praying without ceasing, as the Bible says. So tonight we want to be looking at something of the Lord Jesus' prayer here, and just in a general way, his prayer life. We'll come back here in a moment, but have a look in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, just to look at two or three verses to see just a little bit of his prayer life. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, and the Bible says this: in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Notice that. He got up very early in the morning, before it was even daylight. Okay? Think of our prayer life when we're reading these. Okay? How does our prayer life measure up? So, a great while before day, he went out, departed into a solitary place and prayed. Come back to Luke chapter 5. We've looked at this one, those who have been here previously. But Luke chapter 5, and notice verse 16. The Bible says there, just a short verse, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So he first of all gets up early in the morning, goes off. Now we see him out in the wilderness, somewhere out by himself, praying and talking to God. Cross to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. Notice what the Bible says there. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" So once again, we find he's out somewhere praying. His disciples come and they start to ask him some questions. Come to Luke 22. And if you're wondering what serious prayer is, then we find in Luke chapter 22. And notice what it says there in verse 39, sorry, Luke 22, 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, and he was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye end into temptation." Now notice something there about the intensity of his praying. I mean, the Lord Jesus is facing death on the cross. He knows that. The time has come. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And he came," why? "To die for our sins on the cross." Now that meant for him to fully pay the price, he had to have placed on him the sins or the iniquity of us all, the Bible says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In the book of Corinthians, Paul said this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Okay? The difficulty so often people have when it comes to salvation is that they're not willing to admit, yes, I am a sinner before God. I am guilty before God of breaking God's commandments and God's laws. Now, until we get to that place, we don't need a saviour, do we? "Oh, I've heard about Jesus. Yeah, I heard he's a good prophet or he's a wonderful person. I believe he's got some good teaching." All those kind of things. But it's not until we get to that place of need where we get to that place where we say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. And I understand your word says there is condemnation upon sin and upon sinners who are unrepentant. And Lord, please, I come to you now," and that's called repenting. "I come to God and I say, God, I believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross according to the scriptures, and he was buried and raised again the third day, physically and bodily according to the scriptures. Lord, please forgive my sin. Please save me from the penalty of death." And at that point, we're saved. Right? Why? Because whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from the penalty, which is separation from God forever in a place called hell. Not a popular teaching, but that's what the Bible tells us. And so you and I have a responsibility to share that good news. The good news is if people don't have to go to hell. The good news is if they'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. So we see something here of the Lord Jesus' prayer life. We've just touched on it. But we see sometimes the intensity of the prayer life. Now you and I will never know that intensity because we don't face the cross. He's already faced it for us. We'll never have to worry about sweating, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground as he faces all that the cross meant. Remember one time there on the cross he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Why did that have to be? Because you see, part of the penalty of sin is separation from God forever. And so the Lord Jesus had to taste that for us. So there's some intensity. And I don't know, sometimes you maybe have had some intensity when you're praying. I remember one time years ago now, I was praying and I just felt I couldn't move, that I had to keep praying about this situation, praying for the service that morning at church. And we were praying and I was praying. And finally I felt like, oh, I can get up now. It was back many years ago at Northside. And that morning there was a number of people who got saved in that service. And I'm not saying, look what a wonderful prayer I was. All I'm saying is that sometimes God will put it on you, put a bit of a burden on you, and there'll be some intensity in your prayer. That's the way it is. That's not all that... The Lord Jesus only went through this one once, but he did go through it for us. And so I trust now we're starting to get a little insight as to the outstanding aspect of his life of prayer, how important it was. So come back to Luke chapter 6 now and verse 12. And the Bible says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. In those days. Now those days were very busy days. The Lord Jesus has begun his public ministry, probably about a year now it's been going. He's been preaching in various towns and cities, and people are flocking to him. Not necessarily to hear his preaching, that as well, but they want to get healed because he's healing people. He's healing the blind, he's healing the sick, he's doing all that. And so the crowds, multitudes of people, life's very busy. And not only that, at this point, the opposition was really increasing. You see in verse 11, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. The Pharisees and the religious leaders hated him. Why? Because he was such a rebuke to them in their man-made religion. And so what did they want to do? They wanted him dead. And so you can imagine the Lord Jesus now, the pressures mounting up, the crowds of people, the multitudes of people, and now he knows that they've got a plan. When they get the opportunity, he's going to go to the cross. And he was aware of the cross. He didn't come to earth not knowing the cross. But humanly speaking, he's now getting increasing pressure upon him. How did he handle it? How did he handle that? Well, the answer is in prayer, didn't he? The answer is prayer. That's how he handled it. And notice again what it says. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Went out into a mountain to pray. The Bible doesn't say here what it is, but I wonder, as we remember we read in chapter 22, how he went to the Mount of Olives as his wont was. I think that was one of the favourite places for the Lord Jesus to go and pray, somewhere up there on the Mount of Olives. And notice something else about this. He went out into a mountain to pray. He was by himself. He's by himself. Have a look in Matthew chapter 6. The Lord Jesus was doing some teaching about praying. In Matthew chapter 6. And notice what he says in verse 5 of Matthew 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He's talking about the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They would get out there on the sides of the streets and they would stand there and pray, oh, thank God I'm not like all these other men are. You know, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have. You know, whatever, whatever, whatever. The Lord said, they're hypocrites, they're doing it for one reason, that they may be seen of men. Now, what does he say in verse 6? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What did the Lord Jesus do? He went up onto a mountain to pray. He entered into his closet. I remember a story one time, this fellow got saved and he was reading this verse, or someone shared it with him, and so he was concerned about where he's going to pray, and he found there was a broom closet in the house. So he used to climb into the broom closet to pray because he thought, well, you've got to get into your closet. And someone said, no, well, actually, you don't have to get in a closet. It's, you know, it's nothing wrong with that, but what you need to do is get alone with God. Oh, right, okay. Oh, thanks. You'd be crowded in a broom closet. But anyway, that's what he did. But at least he understood what the Bible says, get alone with God, amen. That's what he's talking about. And the Lord Jesus had an important decision to make, didn't he? The Bible says there, in verse 13, when it was day, he called on his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. He's got an important decision to make. He needs some apostles. Remember, the apostles, these were very special men. Special in the sense they would be, along with the prophets, the foundation of the church. Right? They're to be the foundation of the church. They're to go out and preach the gospel. They're to go out and have the power and authority to perform miracles. I mean, God says we need someone special for that. And so the Lord Jesus doesn't take this lightly. How serious did he take it? He was there all night. This is a serious decision. You say, well, he knows everything. He's God. That's right. But as the man, he's our great example. He's got an important decision to make. He knows that you've got to do some serious praying in those situations. And so he goes out onto this mountain by himself and he spends the night there. All night. It emphasises, doesn't it, the importance of what he's praying about. But I think not only that, it also emphasises the importance of prayer. You know, how important is prayer to you and I? Oh, Lord, please bless everybody today. I've got a busy day, but I'll come back later on if I get time. Is that how we pray? Do we get alone with God? Do we get in the closet, as it were, and we spend some time alone with God, praying about things, praying for others, praying for needs, praying about our building situation? Oh, yeah, I do. Lord, please provide something for us. Okay. I'm planning, Lord willing, we have a day of prayer and fasting at the last Sunday or last week of the month to name it the building prayer and fasting day. Amen. You say, why that? Because it's a serious business. Where are we going to meet? God will take care of it. Correct. The Lord Jesus could have said the same thing, couldn't he? He said, well, God will take care of who the apostles are. I don't have to worry. No. He said, this is a serious matter. I get alone with God and I'm going to spend all night in prayer, primarily about that aspect. It's important. It shows that he was serious about praying. Now, again, the question you and I ask this carefully because I know the hour has come back. How serious are you and I about praying? How serious? Now, I don't believe we all have to have an all-night prayer meeting every week or anything like that. I remember reading of D.L. Moody. Now, D.L. Moody, back in the late 1800s, he was greatly used of God in America and England. Many, many people came to the Lord, thousands and thousands over his ministry. I remember reading his story, and he spoke about all-night prayer meetings. And he said, I went to an all-night prayer meeting once, and he said, I fell asleep. And he said, that was the last one I went to. Now you can say, well, that wasn't very spiritual. Be careful, the Lord used him in amazing ways. What am I trying to say? The fact is, you don't have to pray all night to show that you're spiritual. Now, if God puts it on your heart to pray all night, you better pray all night, amen. If it's a real serious matter, you might need to spend a couple of hours in the middle of the night or something like that. You ever find you wake up in the middle of the night? Oh, no, I just want to go back to sleep. It could be the Spirit of God saying, I've got some prayer matters I want you to deal with. Could just be. Ever thought about that? The length of time's not everything. Sometimes short prayers are not only okay, you've only got a short time. You think about Peter when he's walking on the water and begins to sink. He didn't say, I've got to spend all night praying about this. He said, Lord, save me! Sure, come out, Pete. Come out. You think about Nehemiah, the cupbearer there, and in front of the king, Artaxerxes, and the king says, hey, listen, Nehemiah, what's the problem? In those days, if you didn't look too happy in front of the king, you were in trouble. Because he's the king, you're supposed to look all happy and chirpy. And he was worried. Why? Because of what was happening in Israel and what had happened in Jerusalem, the rubbish and the decay and everything that had taken place there because of God's judgment upon him. And Nehemiah, the Bible says, he kind of just looked up. And it says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So that would have been a short prayer. Yeah, short prayer. He didn't have long. But I believe it indicates that Nehemiah had what I would call a good prayer life. And he knew when you're in trouble, there's only one way to go. Lord, please help me. And God blessed him in wonderful ways. Now, Lord, save me. Sometimes it's just a short, bang, prayer. Done. It doesn't always have to be a long prayer. You know, it's interesting when you look at the Lord Jesus, you hear about the length of time he prayed, don't you, in that sense? But you don't hear what he prayed all that time. You know, when we have a prayer meeting, I think some people go, oh, you know, I can't pray, so I won't pray. Who says you have to pray for half an hour? Sometimes it's better if you only pray for about 20 seconds. Seriously. Oh, Lord, I pray for the whole world tonight. I pray that everybody will get blessed. I pray. Shh. Wait till you get alone with God if you want to talk like that. just, you know. Lord, please, we got this situation with the building. Could you please give us wisdom about that? Amen. Or whatever. Don't feel that you've got to pray, otherwise I won't be seen very spiritual. If you go pray, people might think the opposite. Who do they think they are? Is that some kind of Pharisee? But when you're alone with the Lord, hey, all night, that's a long time of praying, amen. But don't feel it in a prayer meeting. I've just got to pray, otherwise. You know, sometimes it's fine just to sit in a prayer meeting and not to pray. But what will other people think? That's their problem. Amen? Who are we here for? Like the Pharisees, what? To be seen of men? Oh, Lord, please help me to pray tonight because I want to pray a prayer that will impress everybody. And we maybe don't say that in words, but that's what we're thinking. It's what we're thinking. Lord, deliver us from that. Amen? Just simple, childlike praying. That's all God's looking for. We don't have to have some deep, deep prayer. Just tell God what's on your heart. You know, praying is talking to God. And as we've already said, sometimes there'll be an intensity. There's no question about that. Sometimes there'll be some challenging things that you really feel strongly about and you bring it to the Lord. Lord, please. That's okay. But that won't be every time. I mean, when you sit down and have a meal, what should you do? I believe you should give thanks or ask God's blessing upon the meal. But you don't have to go there, oh Lord, thank you, and pray for half an hour. No, you don't have to do that. Now, if you want to do that, that's fine. Your meal will get cold, but that's all right. Oh, it's already cold, Bill. Okay, that's fine. But you know what I'm trying to get across? Prayer is about talking to God. And depending on the situation as to how intense that may be, sometimes it might be, Lord, you know, I don't know about you, but I find myself, yeah, you know, I like gardening. I'm up the back garden, I say, oh, Father, this is amazing when I look at this. The different colours here, Lord, this is incredible. He says, is that how you talk? Yes, why not? I'm talking to my Heavenly Father, He knows. Say, Father, it's amazing just the way you've created all this. Oh, thank you, Lord. How good is this? You say, is that what you do? Sometimes, yeah. I don't do that all day, every day up in the garden. But what I'm saying, praying is talking to our Heavenly Father. And so we find the Lord Jesus. He's alone there on the mountain. And he's there all night in prayer to God. You know, the apostles were an important and integral part of God's plan, weren't they? We've already touched on that. In the book of Mark, it says that he chose his apostles to be with him. Why? So that he could have fellowship with them. Why? So that he could train them and teach them for the ministry that lay ahead. This was an important decision that he had to make. I want to have a look at some verses that I trust will encourage us about prayer tonight. Have a look in Psalms. First of all, Psalm 34. And see what the Bible has to say here. Psalm 34 and verse 15. And notice what the Bible says. Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry or unto their prayer. In other words, God's sitting up there in heaven and watching us while we pray. He's watching us. He's very interested in us, isn't he? He's not saying, listen, guys, I'm going to have to put it on hold because I'll be away for a few weeks. No. What does it say? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry, unto their prayers. Have a look in Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Notice what verse 15 says. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It's an encouragement to pray, isn't it? Well, I'm just going through difficulties. Well, call on the Lord. That's what he says. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will what? I'll give it some thought. It's not what he says. Well, I'll have to pray about it. No, he doesn't have to pray about anything. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Have a look in Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And notice verse 18. Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. When we're praying, you know what? God's close to us. That's what he says, doesn't he? God is nigh or near unto us. When we're praying, God's right there. He's not only watching us, but he's right there. He's not up there, some distant deity, you know, way out there and who knows where. No. He's not like that. The Lord is near or nigh unto all them that call upon him, to them that call upon him in truth. You know, when you go and take time to pray, guess who's with you? The Lord. That's what the Bible says. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself, so I'm praying, and I'm praying almost with this, you know, God somewhere out there. And I stop and say, Lord, sorry about that. I know you're right here with me. Lord, please help me to remember that. I don't have to shout and scream. You're right here. Thank you, Lord. You're right here. Amen. You understand me. I know that. He's not. He's near. He's not a long way off. You have a look in Jeremiah and see what God said to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. And notice what he says there in verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, I've heard people say, there's a prayer promise, I claim that. But be careful, there's a principle here. There's a principle. This is a promise to Jeremiah. But there's still a point here. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Well, just call, I'll answer. And Jeremiah, by the way, I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know anything about. I'll show you some things. Have a look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Again, just to encourage us to see how widespread the teaching of prayer is and how important it is. Verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, in this case, this is what's in the continuous tense. So when it says ask, it means keep asking. Keep asking. Not everything God goes, done, immediately. Some things you have to keep praying. and keep praying. It's like if you're praying for someone's salvation, you've got to keep praying. Well, what's the point? Because God says keep praying. Ask. Ask. Seek. How many years? Don't know. I remember George Mueller. And George Mueller was a man of prayer. He was known for that. He had an amazing ministry, a very unique and special ministry. He had over 2,000 orphans that they used to look after in England, in Bristol. They never asked anybody for any money. He only ever prayed and allowed God to provide as he provided. He was a man of prayer. Ask. Ask. George, what about it? Just ask. Ask and God will provide. He said, I've been praying as an old man. He said, there's been a couple of people I've been praying for over 60 years that they'll get saved. He said, they're still not saved. He said, I've been praying every day that God would save them. He said, I believe he will. He said, why is that, brother? He said, I don't believe God's kept me praying all this time and they're not going to save them. One of them got saved at Mueller's funeral and the other one, I think, just a week or so after. George had to wait to see him in heaven one day. I think maybe, I don't know, I'm reading between the lines, God maybe said when George passed into the Lord's presence, just give us a couple of days, you're going to see an answer to prayer here. And within a week or so, those two people that he'd faithfully prayed for, got saved. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, you mean I have to pray for 60 years for someone to get saved? No, it doesn't mean that either. It just points out a truth there. Just keep asking. Keep asking. And if it's in, you say, maybe if I haven't got an answer, it's not in the will of God. That's possible. That's also possible. But if it's not the will of God, God will show you that. But if it's the will of God and it is for people to be saved, then just keep praying. Keep praying. We don't know how long it'll take. We don't know those things. You have a look in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. These are verses that some of us have memorized even. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6 and 7 where Paul writes, be careful or be anxious, be worried for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What things should you pray about? Everything. You mean all things? Well, that's what it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. And notice it says with thanksgiving. That's important. That's important. With thanksgiving. And let your request be made known unto God. And here's the blessing that comes if we do that in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yeah, it might not be a bad question to ask someone who says they're saved and they're all uptight. Have you prayed about it with thanksgiving? Have you prayed with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving? Because according to the word of God, if you have, you'll enjoy the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And it'll keep your heart and it'll keep your mind at peace. Wonderful encouragements to pray. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And notice what the word of God says here in verse 14, Hebrews 4 verse 14 and following. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a wonderful promise. We have someone in heaven, our high priest, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who has been through what we've been through when it comes to temptations and trials. He knows what we're going through. And if we come to him, then he is able to give us the grace that we need and exercise mercy that we need in time of need. It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Why wouldn't we pray about everything? The Lord knows about it. He's been tempted as we are, not with sin though. He didn't sin. So God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You'll find mercy. You'll find grace to help. What are we saying? Pray. 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 Sometimes on a mountaintop, maybe all night. Pray. Maybe out in the wilderness for a half hour. Pray in the closet. Pray. Pray. Well, we might leave it there tonight, but with this question, how is our prayer life? How is my prayer life? How is our prayer life? What do we do when we get busy? Remember, the Lord Jesus was very busy. He went away and prayed, didn't he? He didn't do like you and I so often do. Well, Lord, I'm a bit busy today. Sorry about that. I know I should be praying a bit more, but I'm too busy. That's not the way the Lord Jesus did it. You make time. He made time. He spent all night in prayer. Maybe it's we've got important decisions to make. Better make sure you're doing some serious praying. And maybe it's pressures. And, you know, the Pharisees and the others, they're planning to kill him. Need to get away and pray for a while. Need to spend some time with the Lord. I just close with this quote. Butler says this: the fact that many folk are making such poor choice in life may be attributed to a poor prayer life. Probably true. Probably true. Let's pray. Father, we bow to thank you once again for our Lord Jesus. We thank you for his wonderful life and example to us. It's a challenge. We know, Father, we'll never be to the same perfection that he was. But Lord, he is our example, and he gives the grace that we need to follow in his footsteps. We're thankful for that. We're thankful, Father, for the place of prayer. Whether it be all night, whether it be in the wilderness, whether it be on the mountaintop, wherever it be, in the closet. We're thankful. We've just looked at some of the promises tonight, Lord. Your word's full of them. But Lord, we'd have to say tonight, Lord, sometimes we just get too busy. Lord, sometimes the pressures of life, they're just too much. Lord, sometimes we just get caught up in what we're doing instead of bringing it to you first of all. Lord, sometimes we just don't realise that you're watching us and you're near to us. You want us to talk with you. And yet, in that sense, we snub you. Please forgive us, Father. Please help us, each one of us, to review our prayer life before you. And Lord, to endeavour by your grace to follow our Lord Jesus' example when it comes to prayer. As we've said, Father, many people get excited about the miracles, about the healings. But undergirding all that was our Lord Jesus' prayer life. That's how important it is. May we see that tonight, Father. And we're thankful, Father, as we have sung and we've looked into your word again for our Lord Jesus, who laid aside heaven's glory and came and died on the cross for our sins, paid the price, that we might believe on him and have everlasting life. I trust, Father, tonight that all of us could say, yes, as we've sung tonight, I'm born again. Lord, if not, then you would be gracious and Lord, bring that one to yourself, Lord, that they too could join in that chorus. So, Father, again, we thank you for tonight, and we give you praise in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.